Our scripture passage for this morning comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. John writes saying, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers of spring may fade, but the word of God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen." In part, our scripture passage for today is about the transformative power of faith in Jesus Christ. John, the author of this passage, mentions here that if we want a relationship with God, there is a way to get that. It's through Jesus. This is a theme that God has been emphasizing to me, it seems, all along since Easter Sunday. It is this theme or this idea, this reality that we have a craving in our human hearts, a craving not only to emerge from this pandemic, emerge back into a life with less fears and restrictions, but to emerge from a life of a mediocre relationship with God and to emerge into a richer and a fuller relationship with our Creator and our Savior. Now, supposedly, this theme or this idea of emergence, emerging out of something, this will be a very relevant theme for us this month. According to entomologists, bug scientists, according to these experts, we are about to see a dramatic emergence in the natural world all around us. You guys know what I'm talking about? Have you seen this story in the news? Yes, some of you are nodding your heads. Entomologists are telling us that an enormous brood of flying insect larvae are about to crawl up out of the soil all around us, climb to anything that is vertical so that they can molt their skin and hatch into their adult form. Soon, billions, if not trillions of cicadas will be emerging from the ground all over the eastern part of the United States. These bugs are called periodic cicadas because after they hatch from their eggs, they spend years underground and only emerge periodically. This brood in particular, every 17 years. When they do emerge, they come up, shed their larval skin to reveal their wings, wings which allow them to fly to the treetops where they sing and find romance and play their part in the next life cycle for their species. It's dramatic because it's going to happen in such huge numbers. There's going to be billions of them. But it's also a dramatic story for each and every one of those individual bug larvae. Think about it. Those squirmy little bugs, each individual one has been brooding underground in the dirt and the mud all around us in the pitch black, sucking on sap from tree roots for 17 years. They've been down there for 17 years. They've been down there since the year I graduated from high school. That's crazy. What a miserable existence they've had for the past 17 years. They've been in the pitch black darkness, but in just a few days, they're going to emerge and literally leave that old life they've been living for 17 years behind them. They will shed their old selves. They will leave it behind like a dried out little cornflake on the bark of a tree. They'll leave it behind by emerging and spreading out two beautiful sets of crystalline and iridescent wings. And they will fly into a new life, a new existence. It's amazing. Those little dirt creatures that are currently squiggling in the dirt all around us, hiding in the soil, each will soon be soaring through the sunshine and the sky, These little subterranean beings will fly to the beautiful new leaves of the springtime maple trees and oak trees all around us so that they can find a spot where they can sing their beautiful songs. It's an amazing transformation from the stillness and the darkness of the soil to the beauty and buzzing splendor of a new life in the treetops. And I don't think it's too dramatic to say that each and every one of these bugs will soon be reborn. They will be reborn. They were first born when they hatched from their eggs 17 years ago and then crawled into the ground, waiting for this rebirth, a new birth into an altogether new life. By the way, in case you were wondering, this is your Mother's Day connection for this sermon. These bugs were born, they're gonna be reborn. Birth is a mom's thing, so this sermon officially addresses Mother's Day. You're welcome. Yes, yes. We might wonder what triggers this amazing transformation in these bugs, these cicadas. What triggers this experience of rebirth? Scientists tell us that these bugs have an internal clock that somehow tracks time even though they're in the dirt and they can't see the sun. Their clock somehow ticks down the years for 17 exact years, not 14, not 18, but 17, so that billions, if not trillions of bugs all coordinate their emergence together. Their transformation is hardwired into them this spring. When the temperature of the soil reaches the right degree, their internal alarms will tell them that this is the year to come out and it will be a free-for-all. But right now, they're still in the dirt, getting ready to be reborn. Only imagining what it will feel like to have wings and to fly. Only imagining the sound of their song. People of God, we share a craving. It is a craving to emerge from the dirt and the darkness of an old way, an old life, and to spread out new wings and to catch on the currents of new life. We want a richer and a fuller relationship with God. And the New Testament is consistent, surprisingly consistent, that the avenue we have, the pathway before us, the door that is open to us, the conduit to a deeper and fuller relationship with God is through a relationship of faith in Jesus Christ. We have a way to shed our mediocre ways, our mediocre selves, and to take flight, in a sense, to reach new heights. God makes us new. God frees us from a reality where we are locked in darkness and sin, wondering what is right, wondering what is good, wondering what is lasting and worthwhile in life. And we emerge into the light to find transformation through a relationship with Jesus Christ. At times, this message sounds so simple that it can strike us as trite. Saying that it's important to have a relationship with Jesus, it just sounds like something that of course, the preacher would talk about without much thought. But this is the message of the New Testament. The message tells us that we can develop a relationship with Jesus. And when we do, we had better get ready, because in doing so, we bring God's transformative power into our lives. As a kid, I did a Boy Scouts program at my childhood church. And it wasn't the official real deal Boy Scouts program. Instead, it was this Protestant-only version that my church's denomination had cooked up on its own. Part of the goal of this program was to help kids like me develop a relationship with Jesus, develop faith. So each week at Boy Scouts, we would have devotions. We would break into our little cadres of age-specific groups, and our counselors, our cadet leader, our Boy Scout leaders would read with us scripture and say a prayer with us. A gruff old man who was there to teach us how to build model rockets and to avoid cutting ourselves with pocket knives, he would sit there with us on little folding chairs in a church basement, and he'd read a scripture and he'd say a prayer with us every week. And I remember for the 2 years that my Boy Scout leader was Mr. Turing, he had us pray a version of the Sinner's Prayer, a prayer that was written by evangelist Billy Graham. The prayer says this, it says, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. For 2 years in a row, Mr. Turing led us, or forced us, to pray that prayer with him. And the first year we did it, I remember thinking to myself, well, this is a little heavy-handed, forcing an eight-year-old to invite Jesus into his heart. You know, even as an eight-year-old, I was sort of wary of bad theology. I was like, is this really okay? All right. And the second year, when we prayed the exact same prayer, I remember thinking to myself, come on, Mr. Turing, Jesus is already in my heart. I invited him there last year. Praying this Billy Graham prayer, it taught me something important at that young age of 8 and 9 years old. It taught me that there is a simple and yet a profoundly powerful thing that I can do and that each and every one of us can do. When we are feeling low, when we are feeling lost, when we are feeling trapped in the darkness, when we are feeling a craving for a new and a transformative experience in our lives, we can reach out to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we can invite him into our hearts. We can reach out in prayer, and we can invite Jesus to come into our lives, to bring his forgiveness, to bring his grace, to fill us with power and with love. We can invite him into our lives for the first time, or for the second time, or for as many times as we need. We can pray saying, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I am not perfect, and I ask for your forgiveness. Dear Lord Jesus, I feel like a larva stuck in the mud. I feel like for the last 17 years, I have been trapped in one place in the darkness of the dirt, and I want something different. I want more from this life. I know there is more. And so, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead, and I believe that there is victory and new life in you. And I believe that you can raise me up from this darkness. And so, dear Lord Jesus, I am turning myself over to you. I am ready to leave this old life behind. So come, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. People of God, if it has been a year since you've prayed a prayer like this, or if it has been 17 years since you've prayed a prayer like this, or if you have never prayed a prayer like this, I encourage you to do so today. There is never a bad time to lift your heart to God in prayer and to ask Jesus to come into your life, to help to transform you and make you new. There is never a bad time to ask Jesus to come into our lives, to give us a new start, a new beginning, to shed away our old selves, to shed that old life and that old way, and to emerge into something new. People of God, as the cicadas rise later this month, as they emerge from their dirt and their darkness to shed their old lives and to soar into the sky and to sing their songs of praise, so let us, through faith in Jesus Christ, let us shed our old ways, and let us soar as on eagle's wings, and let us too sing our songs of praise. Amen.